Say, God's on my case. He wants me to set people free. I can't do it with my mouth shut. I gotta open. I gotta give them the good news. Not how ugly life can be, but how sweet our Savior is. Especially to me. Amen. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. I kept hearing in my heart that we need to take a peek at this because of the requirements to make it to the other side of the lake. Anybody remember who gave us that word? Gail is guilty. Yeah, I know. Definitely she's guilty. She doesn't mind being guilty because it was good stuff. Verse 5. Acts 15, verse 5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." I'm sure they said it with
attitude,
yes. How many have ever had a word come to them with a person that has attitude? Condemnatory words. Verse 6. The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the hearts, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith." He purified their hearts, not because they scrubbed themselves clean, but they chose to believe the message that Peter was giving them. "Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear?" What was he talking about? He was talking about the legalism and the law. That not one believer had ever been able to carry from start to finish. And Jesus is the only one that did it. "No," is verse 11, says, "we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." Just as they are. So some people can be in a different church and they're saved just like you.
Amen.
Different background, different rules, different regulations, but they're saved just like you. They may not like you, they may not like me, but God has a plan for them as well as for us. "The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. 'Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written,'" and he quotes, "'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things that have been known for ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God.'" Could that be our decision as well? Why make it difficult and lay all kinds of rules and regulations and drive people crazy? Because all it does is bring division. Instead, we should write them telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest of times, and it reads in the and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers. With them, they sent the following letter: "The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said." Have you ever had that experience? How many have ever been troubled by some Christian giving you a new set of rules? Okay. So was it normal for them to have this happen? Yes. And for us too. Okay? So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul. Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth, what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. If you and I had just those things to contend with in our hearts, wouldn't it bring some freedom? How many believers today actually take that letter seriously? Not too many. No. Because they've got all these other rules and all these other, you know, I call them fluff. And I remember when the Holy Spirit told us to form a covenant that the house of prayer was not to be all kinds of rules and regulations, but that it was based on these very words. We shared that with Pastor Jay, and he looked at us and he said, "Good news." He not only approved, but he said, the easier it is for the Lord to heal his people. And I can remember a few people not understanding our freedom and the freedom we wanted to give. And it did not help those people. It created division because they wanted all the old to still be in effect. And it was very difficult to, let's say, I should probably say wiggle through at that time. Since then, we have learned that grace is the only substance by faith that changes hearts. Grace. Grace is given to us for free. But we're so accustomed in our background, or at least mine, to pay for everything, that we wanted the double mixture. Let's do good works and then we'll feel better about ourselves. And the Holy Spirit didn't give that good works list to the apostles in the book of Acts, did he? Yet we have a tendency I remember one person coming to me and said, well, how are we going to feed the poor? He said, that's supposed to happen. I said, well, I would prefer not to recreate the wheel. There's a ministry downtown Springfield that does an excellent job of caring for the homeless. I said, I've known the man who manages it. I was part of the full gospel with my background. He was there at the same time. He loves the Lord. He cares for the saints. Him and his family and all of those that work with him feed, I can't tell you how many hundreds per month, per year. I think we should support them. And I said, if you have clothes or whatever, just go down and support them. Oh, but we should do our own, he says. I'm thinking, we got a skeleton crew here. What is it that God wants? Does he want us out there wearing ourselves out, doing what's already being done? Or does he want us to just support them and help them out when there's a press from God? So we talked it over, and we agreed that a financial gift would be how we would support them. Since then, we've had other little drives here and then, and we've had some people who went down, and even Gail did that. She was pressed of the Lord. I told the same individual, I said, you know, if you are pressed of the Lord, why don't you go visit? Why don't you volunteer and give up that time that you supposedly have, that you wanted us to do, but he didn't want to do. I said, why are you laying this on me? I know I'm not called to do that. That is not where I am. I spent 18 years counseling people. And I know that door is closed. All right? We had a prayer line for the whole state of Massachusetts. I said, that's 18 years of investment of time and money and work. And I said, you know what? We have people like you that want to lay it on me and not on you. Same spirit. Yes? They want you to do, and they tell you how to do it, and won't volunteer to carry the ball at all. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the picture? Has anything changed from Acts chapter 15? Or is it the same? Well, we finally laid it to rest and agreed in prayer that if it was God's plan, that he would motivate us. I think it's like 14 years and we've never been motivated to do, except a few that were pressed of God to do. And when they did, they saw signs and wonders take place. And that's what we want. Now, I don't remember ever being commissioned to go to the park and get some fresh air, but today there was a young man that received the good news and he was okay at the park. I didn't lay it on any of you, but I'm telling you, open your mouth when the time is right. And don't lay a bunch of burdens on people that they can't handle or that you can't handle. Don't give somebody a bright idea that they should be doing instead of you activating your own faith. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I should have heard an amen. All right? So it's so easy to give somebody else a directive. And it sounds so holy to put them to work. It's not the case. It should be. It should be, are you willing to lay down your life to do the commission that God has given to you? Because if he spoke to you, then you carry the ball. And that's what I responded. I said, my suggestion, I'll write down the name, I'll give you the address, and you go and volunteer. And I says, if you're not satisfied, I know another soup kitchen right here in Chicopee. And I says, you can go work for that lady. Oh, well, I don't have that press. I said, well, what's your issue? You want to feed the poor, but you're laying it on others. Oh, but that ministry would be so wonderful. I said, yes, and you would be glorified that you thought of it. We are writing. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. I repeat, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. Everything is established in two or three. Try it on for size with me. Say, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden anyone with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. How about that for a reprimand, huh? Is it clear? Yes, dear.
I'm sorry, it's not clear. There's one part there that I just don't understand, and I know you said from meat, yeah, where it says from things strangled. Here's the analytical, and if I'm not supposed to, what does that mean? How do you apply that?
In our day, it's because in those days they would see roadkill and they would bring it to a place and they would make a few dollars and it would be advertised because they had idols that were being worshipped and they would throw that meat at them and then they would sell it in shops and it was half the price.
Okay, so if we, in today's...
In today's society, that would, most of that would not apply. But in some countries it would. Okay. Because we don't have idol worship in the United States that we know of, that's being advertised, okay? But in that day, it was very common, all right? So it really does not apply to us. Yet, if we had, for instance, people selling meat on the black market, where there's no inspection, not a good idea, okay? So you keep away from that. In those days, they would offer up blood sacrifices, and they would sell the blood. And that's another thing that they were not supposed to do. And they made it very clear, don't get involved in that, okay? And of course, the rest is self-explanatory. But it's not that complicated, you know? And yet, we have people walking around in all kinds of guilt trips with silly things that don't make sense. So the freedom of Christ and his good news is to believe that he took care of all the details and gave such simple coordinates for the Gentiles, and actually for the Jews as well. But the Jews were so locked into their coordinates that they carried some of them to extremes. And we have the same thing going on today. The picture is the same. The solution is to pray for them. Ask God to transform their hearts and heal them. And he will in due